Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace, our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, Bayou City Angler, Boyd's One Stop, Angler U. All right. 72 down on the island this morning. A little warmer this morning. Looks like sun and clouds mixed today. Areas of patchy fog, high of 79. South-southwest winds 10 to 20. And I don't see those stronger winds again today, but they're calling for it. It's just a forecast. Tonight, looking at a few clouds, a stray shower thunderstorm is possible as that front approaches. Looks like a low near 65 tonight with a southwest wind 5 to 10. It'll be becoming north and increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour. And then for tomorrow, it's going to be quite brisk, breezy for sure. Sunny with gusty winds, high of 72. North winds will be 25 to 35. Higher wind gusts could be possible in that. So here's that good front we've been looking for. It looks like we're going to get it for sure. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up this morning at 11:42 a.m. It's a negative 0.4 coming off that big high last night, a 2.1. So it'll be about a 2.5-foot swing of water. And then high late tonight, 8:50 p.m., a 2.0. 6:38 a.m. is sunrise, 5:28 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 93% on the backside of that full moon. Right now, current conditions, winds are down. Galveston Channel looks like it's about 74-degree water with 75-degree air temperature with a west wind at 5. Eagle Point, it's 72 degrees with a southwest wind at 2. And Morgan's Point, it's 72 degrees with a south wind at 2. So three stations, three different wind directions. I just call that light and variable. We'll work with that. All right. Well, let's get started here. Let's run over to Sabine Lake now and strike up a conversation with Captain Bill Watkins this morning to see what he's up to. Good morning, Mr. Watkins. How you doing?
Well, good morning. Good morning, brother.
Everything good in your world?
Yeah, we're brothers of the hook. That's for sure. Yeah. Only a fishing guide understands a fishing
That's
guide.
It. You're on the hook with that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had some friends fishing the channel yesterday down at Sabine Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And they caught a rushing, mighty falling tide. And it dirtied up everything.
Oh, I bet. It's a smoker.
Yeah, it was. They said, What are we going to do now? I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. Load your boat up, go up to Vinton and put in the Sabine River and go back down to East Pass. That's what I told them to do. And hopefully they were successful. I hadn't heard from them yet. Well, so I don't know what happened, but that would have been my best advice. Or run up to mid-lake somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what the wind did yesterday. It might have blown pretty good. Seemed like it was blowing here in my yard.
Yeah, it kind of blew on the high ground, but over the bay with the cooler water temperatures, that wind stayed up high. It chopped up a little bit late in the afternoon, but it wasn't bad. I mean, it was good fishing chop. You know, up my way anyway, from what I saw.
Well, I decided I'd go out and put new lights, new LED lights on my utility trailer and rewire the whole thing. And so that's what I did. But heat shrink connectors and the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah, it's the only way to go.
And believe me or not, it actually worked when I got it all done.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't have to redo it. Got it right
the first time. No mistakes. Didn't blow a fuse on the truck, and none of that stuff.
How about that?
Yeah, can you even believe it? I did have a couple of cross wires in the beginning, but I realized it and fixed them.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that was about a 3-hour job, because I'm not as fast as I used to be, getting up off the stool. And, you know, I've got a little workbench stool that I sit on.
Right.
And about an hour into that sit on that hard stool, my butt got really sore. I said, well, this is too soon to be doing this, but I'm in the middle of it and I got to do it.
Yeah, well, so, you better not push it, man.
Well, I did. It didn't seem to hurt me any. So, I mean, I woke up this morning with the clock and knew I had to talk to the radio show, and everything was fine. I said, okay, I'm good. I survived it. On to the next thing. So I've been trying it. The doctor told me to walk 45 minutes and sit 45 minutes. Well, to walk in 45 minutes is kind of a problem. I get tired. But, hey, I'm pushing through it, and I feel so much better than I did. Oh, my goodness. Much better.
Yeah, pain's hard to deal with when it's just nagging and it never goes away.
Yeah, when you sit down, and every time you sit down, you dread to sit down, and then when you dread to stand back up, that's a real problem. I can see how people just give up, you know.
You can't do that. You gotta keep trudging along. What gets me is if I'm in my truck, like when I'm going to the deer lease or something, and you're 4.5-5 hours behind that wheel and sitting in one place, when you open up the door and get out, you got to stand there a minute and go, my God, I can't even move. I'm so stiff.
You having to deal with that same thing, too?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Sitting in one place for a long time, man, well, it's kind of like when you get out of bed in the morning, you just put your feet on the floor and go, well, hope everything's good. And I can head to the coffee pot and make sure I don't break a toe or fall down, run over something serious in the dark.
Yeah, it's when I get out of that truck after even a 30-minute drive, yeah, I have to stand there a minute, and I don't dare try to walk. I just have to stand there a minute. And then I'm okay.
Yeah.
I remember my dad used to tell me that, and I didn't understand it.
Yeah, I watched my dad and my grandpa do the same thing. I'm going, man, is that what it's going to be like? Well, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. But I'm feeling the urge to fish. And I even ordered a quick step, that's four little steps that bolts on the side of the trailer on the starboard side.
Yeah.
Trolling motor's on the left side. So I'm going to bolt that on tomorrow. And that way, if I need to go over the bow, I'll have a pole to hold on to and steps.
Yeah, just make sure they're good and gritty, yeah, where you don't have any slippage. Man, I've seen some guys do that, and they busted their butts, man. Just, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's... that's not an option. But I can't crawl over the nose of the boat anymore. And every once in a while, I get in a position I have to do that. And, you know, that's a difficult thing
to
do.
Yeah, it's bad about some of the ramps, you know, at the lakes where they don't allow docks. They don't have any piers or anything like that, floating docks.
Yeah.
And you have to nose your boat up on land and then crawl over the bow and all that to get in or get out. And it poses a problem.
If I get in a situation like that, I can't do that anymore.
You got to take a buddy with you and have him back the trailer in for you.
Yeah. When I first started, I went went to Rainbow Marina. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Where Esther's used to be.
Uh-huh.
And I crawled over the bow of that boat, and I grabbed a hold of the trolling motor, and somehow my foot slipped, and my hand grip broke on the trolling motor, and I fell all over that concrete, my legs sticking through the trailer tongue.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was horrible. And everybody, there was a bunch of guys standing around, and they all ran over there because they just knew I was killed. And they said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" I said, "Just wait a minute. Let me figure this out.
Let me lay here a second and see if anything starts hurting." So far, so good.
Yeah. I mean, literally, that was one of the hardest falls I've ever taken. And somehow, back then, I was still strong enough. I didn't break anything.
Yeah.
But that could have gone bad in so many ways.
Man, there's been so many people screwed up at boat ramps. I know a guy.
Yeah.
This is back when we were young. And that green slime on the ramp, man, he... feet went out from under him, and he came down and broke his collarbone right there at the boat ramp.
Yep. Yeah, I've had some young men, and I tell everybody, when you walk up there to hook that hook,
yeah, watch your footing.
Strap up. Do not let go. Hang on to something, because that stuff will dump you so fast.
Oh, that algae is slick, man.
I've had several young men to stick their feet straight up in the air when they fell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just terrible. I'm going, oh, Lord.
Well, we're internet time of year now. We're going to be getting some low tides with these fronts, and people launching their boats better be careful and aware of that. You can get hurt.
Hold
time.
On to something.
You
hold
won't
on
be able to
the
fish. Fish that good winter fishing, you're all messed up. Dislocated shoulder or broken collarbone or what have you. Even a hip.
Yeah, it could go bad in a lot of ways. So don't give up a grip on something. Hold on the tailgate.
Been around too long, hadn't we? You used to just jump in the boat. Now we crawl in that sucker.
All right. It's not good, Nick.
just slow it down. Be careful. I see a lot of guys, they get messed up because they're always in a hurry. Oh, hey, just slow down. We got all day.
Slow down.
That's it, man. Goodness. Let me knock this break out, Bill. Hold on. I'll come back on that. See you, man. All right. Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget, so if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:17 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Bill, we're back.
Right here with you.
All right, man.
Absolutely. So where were we?
Not falling at the boat ramp. Trying to prevent falling down, with all that slick stuff when we get these low tides.
Yeah, get a grip. Be careful. Sometimes I wish I had a pole to hold on, sticking straight up in the air at the launching ramp, so I could kind of get a grip on something. But, you know, once you lean over and step on that gunwale, you better have something else to catch on to, especially if the tide's real low.
Yeah.
I mean, you reach out there and grab for the grab rail, you lean forward, step on the gunwale, and hope you catch it.
Yeah, you're talking about the handrail on the console? Yeah, you got to have something to grab.
You got to have something to grab. And when that tide level is real low now, deep bayou landing it never gets that low. You can, you don't have the huge tide swings up there. Yeah. Sometimes the boat floats above the dock.
Right.
The water's up. So it's not the issue that, like the causeway and the ramp on the Texas side.
That's, yeah, the music park, too, you know, when that tide's low, it's a long way down the boat from those docks up there.
Oh, yeah, that is a terrible one. They have good landing and everything, but you just better be careful.
Yeah, I just if I don't have anybody to help me put my boat in, I'll, you know, back me in or anything, I'll just, I got a real long bow line with a loop on it, and I just hang that over my winch handle. And I'll back in and cop stop it and slide it off the trailer and then pull up a little bit and then step down on a ramp and grab the rope and pull it over and tie it off to the dock and park my truck.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, especially in a lagoon like that, you can, you know, you sure don't want your boat to get away from you where the tide's rushing by.
No, that's true. That, it's gone.
That's another mistake you could make. But, yeah,
well,
I had
one morning I put my boat in and nobody was there to help me, so I got it in, was getting ready for my people to show up, and luckily my rods were in the truck, so I dogged it off to the cleat, and I went and parked my truck, and I came back, a barge and tugboat had come by, and my I didn't tie it off good enough, and it came off the cleat on the dock, and my boat's drifting out in the bayou. And luckily, I had one rod. It had a corky on it with a with braid, and I kept casting for my boat. I said, "Surely I can hang on something." And I finally hung on where your you know, your engine harness is there in the back. I hung on that meshy stuff they wrap them in, and I was able to reel that boat back to me. And people were looking at me, said, "This guy's nuts," but I got my boat back. Didn't have to swim for it. It was too cold to swim for it.
Yeah, that's the kind of mistake that a fella can make if you got your head up your butt.
Yeah. No, I just took that I have a side cleat there and keep a rope on it for docking, and I just kind of wrapped it around that cleat. I should have put a hitch in it, and I didn't. And well, I almost paid the price for it.
Yeah.
And then you're looking around like, is anybody else going to launch this morning? They can go out there and get my boat for me. But luckily I got to it before it got too far away.
Yeah, that could have been a disaster. Especially if the wind had been blowing real hard.
Yeah, another barge comes by with, you know, a tugboat and a barge.
Oh, and they ain't stopping.
No.
they
can't stop. They got all that weight moving forward. They can't stop. The ship's even worse.
Yeah, when I ironed your boat into the mud, phew. Well, I launched my boat one time at the causeway, and the tide was pretty low, and current was running, and I almost launched my granddaughter. She was like 11 or 12 at the time,
mm-hmm.
And when she saw that, fortunately, she didn't wrap that rope around her hand. I launched that boat a little too fast, and it jerked it out of her hand, and I had to swim. I walked down the ramp and jumped in and swam.
Boy.
That is not good.
Well, not really, because that current's so bad right there anyway. The way
that tide rushes
through there in and out.
Yeah, fortunately, it was kind of at a slack tide, which it never is. I don't know if I could have made it out there. But, you know, back then I was still pretty rough. I could still do what I needed to do and climb up that swim ladder and get in the boat.
Oh, yeah. Be a different game now.
She said, "Papa, what you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go down there and swim for the boat."
I'm going to go get my boat.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. And people have died doing that.
Oh, yeah.
In the wintertime, I know a guy that got hypothermia, and he tried to swim from 6 Mile Ramp at Toledo to get his boat, and he just didn't make it. That water was too cold.
Let it go.
Probably around 50 degrees, yeah.
Just let it go. Surely somebody will be by sooner or later to launch, and they can go get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody would have launched.
Right, or if you got a self-deployed trolling motor, just deploy it. You know, if you got your remote, usually it's in the boat, though, not around your neck.
Well, I have mine around my neck.
Back to you.
I keep mine in the truck and turn on the trolling motor, and I keep that thing around my neck. I don't ever get out of the truck without it, just for that reason.
There you go.
But, yeah, you can. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yes, there is.
Just have to think about it a little bit. And they do work. They'll work out there pretty far.
Yeah, they do.
I never trust that. That's a last resort for me, because you never know when it's going to kick up about halfway.
Well, a lot of people trust their power poles, though, when they're wade fishing. And
that's something I've learned
not to do. Slide the anchor over. You know, if you're going to put the power pole down. But a lot of them use it that way because they can take their power pole remote, raise it up, and then troll motor to the boat to them while they're waiting. And it's very adequate and convenient, but that power pole breaks loose. You know, somebody comes by throwing a big wake and lift it out of the mud, raise your boat up. Your boat's gone, man. It's gone.
Yeah, that can happen at any time. You got loose mud or, you know, shell where it won't get a good purchase.
Or you can't get it good and deep, get a good grip.
Yeah, you better better be careful with that one. Yeah, another anchor is always a good idea.
Yes. The old method is still the best way. It's not going to break
loose.
That's
right.
You put enough rope out.
Yeah, that's
you got a good chain on your anchor. I see a lot of guys, they just tie the rope to the anchor, and, you know, they get out there on the channel in that current, and it's just not going to put that rope down low on the bottom where it'll pull in and set that anchor properly. And it,
No, you need a piece of chain.
Yeah, six foot of it's what I use, that big stuff, you know, the coated chain.
Yep.
Doesn't mar your boat up or anything, and it's
very
adequate. A little extra money, but it's well worth it if you want an anchor to grab.
Cost about $75 or $80 to get a good jetty anchor, and, you know, piece of chain. All that stuff costs money, but the cheap way is not the way.
No, limping don't get it.
Believe me,
I've done some limping over the years. Back when first starting out, boy, I tell you, you just barely had enough money to get gas so you could go out there and get them. And especially in the winter, and you couldn't pay anybody to go fishing with you in the wintertime back then.
No.
So on some of the biggest trout you've ever seen, and just fantastic fishing, and nobody wanted to go, oh, it's too cold. I said, man, put good gear on, and you're not going to believe how good it is. And now, you can't even find a parking place in the wintertime. Everybody's doing it.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, but over here, there'll be some spells that you won't see another boat, or maybe just one.
Yeah.
And especially if there's a little fresh water in the lake. They get discouraged pretty easy. But those winter warm-ups, oh my. That can be so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get those good cold snaps, and then you get the warm-up between fronts, and, man, that afternoon fishing. And then that last hour before dark, those fish go completely ballistic.
Yeah, they do. All I got, it takes is a little bit of warmth.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of sunshine.
And, you know, that's the time of day when the water's the warmest and the fish are really active.
Well, I'm careful about going winter fishing anymore, but I do fish in January. If I can get that right warm up, I'm going out there. Even if I have to go by myself. It's just too good.
Yeah. Well, we're getting at the age it's not worth the risk to go by yourself. Well, at any age. I mean,
no.
Just one little mishap and you're done.
Yeah. Wear your life jacket. Be
yes.
sure you have that thing hooked up to your kill switch.
At least have your life jacket. That way we can find you.
Yeah.
You'll be floating.
Yeah, you will be you'll be there, but you might be dead.
Especially duck hunters.
Of hypothermia.
You know, we've lost some duck hunters in Trinity Bay in the past, and it's a sad deal, man. If it had just had a life jacket on, it would have made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
That's why they call them life jackets. They save your life.
Yeah, I wonder why they call it that.
Yeah. Well, nowadays everybody calls them PFDs, personal flotation device, but I'm stuck in the past. Life jacket's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's for. Save your life, man. All right, Bill. Well, I'm glad you're recovering promptly, and don't overdo it.
Yep.
Gonna be some good fishing in December, man. You better lay low, brother.
Yeah, I'm really getting itchy to go, though.
I know. Well, you can't catch them all. I'm myself and several others are living proof, no matter. You can't wipe them out with a rod and reel. Can't do it.
No.
They'll always be there. They were here before we got here, and they'll be here long after we're gone.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
All right,
take
buddy.
It easy, buddy.
All right, Bill. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to give you a call, my friend.
409-673-9211.
All right,
or fishsabinelake.com.
You got it, man. Bill, have a good one.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thanks.
See you now. All right, later. All right, the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop. And with Thanksgiving coming up, man, I always think of the Belleville and their smoked turkeys. They're now taking orders for their pecan smoked turkeys. Order ahead to reserve your holiday bird. We're talking 11 to 13-pound average weight. Makes a meal for 8 to 10 people. Folks, these are really good. I enjoy them every year. And check out their homemade stuffed pork tenderloins, jalapeno cream cheese, and sweet chipotle cream cheese, pan sausage or boudin, and their La Boucherie chickens. Their stuffed chickens, those are excellent also. And their wild game processing, we're right in the height of deer season now. It's cranked up and fully going, and no better place. I've used them all, and there's no better place to have your processing done in the Belleville Meat Market. You got to try it. And try their deer tamales, venison hot dogs while you're getting the sausage made up. And your family will love you that you did. They're really good. And all their snacking products. Try out their beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and my favorite, those dry sticks. They're really awesome. Great in the boat. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:35. All right, let's head up to Conroe and check in with the fish dude this morning, Richard Taj. Hey, Richard, what's going on, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
I'm just Cadillacing, man. It's all good.
I hear you, boy. You can feel that humidity in there this morning. There ain't no doubt about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, after tonight, you won't feel it for a while. Got a rip snorter.
No. I guarantee you, boys, there ain't no doubt it's going to get cool. And that
it's
going to
be cold in your backyard, I can tell you that.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. There ain't no doubt about that, I guarantee you, because it's what they're saying is that wind's supposed to blow like crazy tomorrow, and then hopefully it settles down Monday or Tuesday. But
25 to 35 with higher wind gust.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But that's all right. That gets this water temperature cooled down. That's one of the main things. You get that wind blowing like that with that cool weather, it'll cool that water temp down pretty quick. But that's like the other day, you know, went out there and tried the hybrids, of course. I got one. It took an hour and a half to get him, but I got that one. That's the main thing. So it's They're just still not bunched up and stuff. The bait's trying to get bunched up and everything, but
yeah,
hybrids are still kind of scattered out for me. You know, I just haven't found those big groups of them yet. But but they're trying to do better. I mean, it's, I say that, you know, because a few weeks ago I tried them and it took 3 hours to get one of them. So hour and a half, that's cutting in half. So
yeah, it's a little slow.
Complain.
A little bit slow,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, you know, the thing is, like I say, I always got to try when these water temps start dropping, because it was 69 the other morning on as far as water temps. So it's, you know, once it starts coming down, I gotta start trying them, because them rascals, it's just going to be one day like a light switch. Somebody's going to flip it on, and they're going to start biting. And I'm just ready for it. I want to catch a whole bunch of them rascals, because they are a hoot whenever I get them going good. I mean, them, you know, suckers, they pull like a freight train, and they're just fun to catch. That's the main thing. So today, though, I think we're just going to jump on some catfish. We're going to see how many of them we can pull in the boat. I got five guys, so let's see if we can't jump on 125 of them anyway. See if that'll get them going pretty good. Because them catfish still, they're starting to do really good. I mean, as far as the bigger ones and stuff like mm-hmm. that, it's like Thursday after we hybrid fish, we end up keeping 57, I think is what it was. And out of that 57, we only threw maybe a half dozen back. So it was, you know, the vast majority of them are getting bigger, which is common when the cooler weather rolls around. Because I get people all the time, they ask me, fish bite in the wintertime? Well, yeah, they do. They got to eat all year round. But
yeah, they go crazy.
I guarantee you. But you know, the thing about, especially the catfish and even the hybrids, you know, once the water temp gets right, those bigger hybrids will start showing up pretty good. But now it's getting to where those bigger catfish are showing up. You know, I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 pounders, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. just randomly scattered in, where you'll catch 8, 10, or 12 of them in a morning. And that's, yeah, those are the ones that fill up them gallon bags of fillets, I promise you. So, like the other day, out of 57, we end up with four gallons of fillets. So that wasn't too bad. I mean, it's getting right. When you get to where you get 10 fish to a gallon, that's when it's right. So that's the way I like it anyway. Just filling bags on up with 10 fish and you're good to go. And it, you know, that's the biggest thing. Cause you get them rascals like that, they're nice and thick.
Good solid ones in there, buddy. Yeah.
You ain't lying. And then
10 fish to a Ziploc.
That's it. And they're fun as heck to catch too. That's the best part, because when you start getting into those more solid fish like that, I mean, they just pull on you. They ain't wanting to come in at all. I mean, they want to get out there and play tug of war with you real quick. And so that's the fun part. And then, you know, I got a guy Monday wanting to go, but I think we're gonna have to change it up to Tuesday, because I'm just not trusting that wind. You know, that's one of the things. And he's wanting to try some crappie and stuff like that. Now I know they're starting to bite a little bit better right now, but that after this front, I don't know. It's going to be kind of spooky to try to.
Yeah,
jump
you're going to have all that high pressure right behind it, and probably a northeast wind. You know, when it slides and
yeah,
you know,
and that's,
you know how those crappie react to a high barometer, man.
Oh man, they are just hard headed as they can be. They just don't want to bite at all. I mean, it's one of those things. They'll stick their nose in that brush and they don't want to come out. So it's but it's one of those things, and we're gonna give it a shot anyway and just see what they wanna do. But, you know, we're just gonna fish for a little bit of everything and see what happens, you know. But like I say, I'm probably gonna try to get him to slide it to Tuesday instead of Monday, because I'm still spooked to that wind. I don't know what that wind's gonna be doing Monday. You know, that's because with the thing coming in, I don't know exactly what time it's gonna come in tomorrow. But when it does, you know, like I say, them winds are gonna be gusting pretty hard, and it'd be nice just let the lake settle down
mm-hmm.
for a day in between, because they're out on vacation. They're going to be up for the week, so it's one of them things where he can kind of shuffle his schedule anyway. So it's one of them deals. I just have to call him and see how it's looking, you know, tomorrow, and what all we can do, you know, to make it where it works. That's the main thing. But
right.
It's, you know, that's the thing, is try to adjust on everything. But But I tell you what, I'm wound up behind these cooler temperatures. I like it not only for fishing but for the hunting too. I mean, good night. Them deer ought to be out on the move here pretty quick. You know, got this dang full moon getting out of the way now. So get it done and make it where it's get that dark moon again. Them rascals, they'll be moving pretty good in the day.
Yeah,
that's one of the fun parts about this time of year is playing with that moon and trying to figure out when them deer move the most and when they don't. You know what I think we talked about the other day, on a full moon, typically I get a midday hunt. Usually your better hunt anyway, and from like 10 to 2 is usually the best time. And that's the same way with fishing. During a full moon, a lot of times that midday bite is better than the morning or after evening bite. You know, it's just kind of crazy how that moon affects everything. You know, it's not just fishing, it's hunting, it's, you know, a little bit of everything. The way that, and then like it affects y'all's tides and stuff down there. You know, so that's one of those things where I've never really understood how the moon affects the tides, but it does. You know, that's
gravitational pull on the earth.
I know, but it's strange. You know, it's just to try to understand how it does that. You know, that's just like with the barometer with the high pressure. You know, people don't understand it. They always hear us talk about high barometer, high pressure, this and that. Well, you know, fish live in water, right? We live in air, so we don't feel that pressure compressing against us. Whenever those fish are in the water, that water pressure is pushing down on them, so it's compressing them, making them feel like they're full. So yeah. a lot of times, what even with hybrids on a high pressure day, you'll notice they'll go, say, I'll catch them consistently in 20 foot of water, and then you get a real high barometer. They'll push up to 15 feet deep instead of 20, just to relieve some of that pressure on their bodies, and then that way they'll continue to feed. But that's kind of how they control their pressure on their bodies and their temperament as far as
feeding. Yeah, I think it's their bladder that it affects. You know, that change. You know,
look at that, right,
something to do with their bladder.
Exactly, you know, and that keeps them up, you know, upright in the water column. It controls how deep they move. Everything about them has to do with that air bladder, you know. And a lot of people don't pay much attention to that, but that air bladder controls a whole lot with those fish. Matter of fact, it controls everything about them, whether they're on the bottom or they're in the middle of the water column.
Well, you can tell when the pressure's high. Don't even have to look at the barometer when you're wade fishing. Your waders are squeeze tight against your legs, you know, when you're wade fishing.
yeah buddy,
they feel loose and, you know, flappy. But
isn't that crazy, because I used to do that duck hunting and I'd feel that. You know, it's one of those things that you just don't pay much attention to it until you start, you know, focusing on the barometer and stuff like that, and you're out there and they're flopping, and then the next day you go out and they're not, and it's like, what the heck. You know, it's like they're just, like they're painted on you one day, and then the next day, it's like they're just loose as they can be, you know. So, yeah, that's just one of the strange things about all that. So, but I hadn't duck hunted so dang long. It's just one of those things. I don't think I can hit nothing anymore anyway.
It'll come back to you. You never forget.
Yeah,
you may miss a couple.
Yeah,
I hear you. It'll come.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt. There ain't no doubt about it. I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, with a rifle I can get you. With a shotgun, man, you can walk right in front of me. I don't think I can hit you anymore. I mean, it's been so dang, like I say, it's been so dang long. It's crazy, but like I say, it comes back. It just takes a few rounds out there, getting the swing of things, and you can get right back on them. But, you know, when I got in 2010, when I got that flesh-eating bacteria, it messed with my foot where I couldn't get in any waders anymore. So at that point, I just said, well, that's enough. I'll just back out of it, and I ain't going to do it no more. So I just hadn't done it, you know. And then now
how'd
I get
your arm,
I get them,
speaking of that bacteria, how'd your arm heal up, Richard? You good to
man,
go?
Man, that arm is great. I mean, I just got a big old scar, looked like somebody chopped on me with a machete.
Looks like they took a fillet out. I mean, you sent me those photos. I said, oh, my God.
Yeah,
I hope he doesn't lose that arm.
I know, but it's great. I mean, that sucker healed up just perfect. I mean, I have absolutely no complaints about that. It's just, you know, got a weird infection in there, you know, just and not tending to it. You know, that's the way I typically am. I know you probably have been the same way, where you don't really take care of yourself.
I don't want to go to the doctor unless I'm dying, man. You know,
I'm the same way. You know,
if it'd make it more a friendly environment and more convenient for you, it'd be a different thing. But man, the hoops you got to jump through and everything just to seek attention. It's crazy.
All right, man.
Speaking of attention, I need to give Charlie P a little bit of attention here. Throw him out a number, and I'll go to Charlie.
Make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com, or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a great one, and hang on. You got some north wind coming at you tonight, buddy.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
All right, later. All right. Bye. Now let's jump down the coast. Let's go to Matagorda and check in with our good friend, Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, just fighting the elements, buddy.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Well, this southwest wind came up yesterday and screwed our bay system up. But
did it come up good over there?
Yeah, when that sun came up, it came up about 12 to 14.
Really?
Man. Yeah. But we had like a 15-boat deal, and inexperienced fishermen, and, you know, we could all catch a few fish to make them happy. So,
hey, you can get a river on the southwest.
That river went stale.
Did it? Man, it was hot, you know, a week or so ago.
Well, that's what happens when the water temperature, you know, comes up just a little bit.
Comes up, yeah.
Yeah. They just disappear and won't eat. Some of the guys, you know, throwing cut mullet, cut redfish, but it was a little tough. Now, I've been wading all week, and fishing's been, you know, just fine. No problems. Yeah. But it'll be good this front to get that river going. I'm sure Dink's got a big group Monday, and I'm sure we're all be in the river with that wind Monday. So,
good Lord. Oh, I can even fish.
Oh, yeah. Sometime the worse, the better conditions in a river.
Mm.
Yeah. Just turns them on. But I got to do it one more day today. I hope that wind is down a little bit today. You know,
we
I'm thinking with that front
over here, it's west and southwest, but it's like 2 to 5. There's no wind right now.
Yeah. Well, if it gets down like that, I can fish where I've been catching wade fishing,
well,
getting some fish.
Yeah.
You know. That's what's going on over here, Mickey. Same old thing. We're just it's a weather thing. Waiting for some cooler weather.
It's just variable this morning. Like down at Galveston, it's southwest at 3 to 6, and Eagle Point is like south southwest 2 to 5, and then up my way at Morgan's Point, it's east southeast 1 to 2.
Yeah,
I'd call that variable.
Yeah. Well, that's typical with this strong front coming. Things usually calm down before it. So
yeah,
it ought to be all right.
I'm with you.
Ought to be good to go.
I
know
that.
Yeah. Starting to see a few ducks flying over during the day.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah. So I'm sure they're coming in front of this front.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a funny year. Been different.
I heard some speckled bellies the other night, and then I heard some sandhill cranes during the day the other day. So there's trickling down.
Getting
here.
Close.
Yeah.
Getting close.
It's really, it's calmer over your way than it is here. I'm showing zero at everything. A harbor zero. I mean, even Palacios, it's 2 out of the north. And it's one out of the northwest at the harbor. The highest wind on the whole coast is at Aransas Pass. It's west at 11 down there.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was surprised the way it came up yesterday morning, but it doesn't take long to dirty that bay up.
Well,
it doesn't.
Not a southwest. Plus, your water's kind of warm. You know, it's not hot, but it's still warm enough to stir things up.
Yeah. Couple of good cold fronts will make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and the water gets down in the low 60s or high 50s, and that's when that water over your way, man, it gets real clear.
Takes off.
It does, yeah. Man.
It'll get real good. Real good. And then we'll see if we can get somebody to go fishing.
A picture of a trout he caught on a Lele Amari special yesterday, and that was the most purple trout I've seen in forever. Man, he was in some really green, clear water, and with that bait hooked in that fish, that was a beautiful photo. It looked like a, you know, remember the tide runners, man, they'd have that, you know, purple scheme like that. Beautiful fish,
yeah.
Silver and purple with a super white belly.
Yeah.
Pretty photo, that fish in the water.
Super deal, super. I hadn't been throwing a Lele very much. Most of mine just been topwaters or straight tail bass.
And they're starting to eat baits like that over here, you know, the jerk baits, like Lele's, yeah. And even broken backs and weird stuff like that. Makes me wish I had a bunch of thundersticks. Remember, we used to crush them on thundersticks this time of year over here. Golly, out of the boat in 8 feet of water, just they'd take the rod out of your hand, man.
Well, they screwed that bait up. It just don't make it like they used to.
No.
Yeah.
Remember that day up in the pocket? We're all drifting around up there in Effley's on those clamshell dumps. And, man, I got on a roll with those thunder sticks. It was slow. We were just picking and pecking on them with mirror lures and tails. And I put on a black and orange thunder stick, threw it out there and jigged it about three times and just ripped the rod out of my hand. I said, oh. And I did it again, and I did it again, and I told my guys, we need to put on thunder sticks. They're eating them. And you remember when I was pulling around to make another drift, you idled over there and said, what in the hell are you catching them on? I said, thunder sticks. Ain't got any. Didn't I throw you a handful of them? Said, get after it,
you
man.
You threw me one.
Yeah, that's right. I threw you one. They were smoking it.
Yeah, man. Good old days.
Good fish, too, man. 4 and 5 pound fish out of the boat on thunder sticks. It didn't get much better than that. Pretty strong.
I'm telling you.
Oh, well. Well, hey, man, I hope you catch them up and fight the elements and all that. You don't have any elements to fight this morning. It's nice. So hopefully
it'll
hold. Maybe they'll light off today before that front hits tonight.
I think they just might, Mickey.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come over and fish this winter with you, Charlie, give them a number so they can get you.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Charlie, you have a good day, and I'll talk to you next week. Hunker down.
Take care, Mickey.
It's coming. All right, brother. See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. Time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.